so hot and tight and wet as she rode him. Moonlight bathed her, golden skin flushed, the runes in her hands glowing. Those whiskey eyes were alive, the kindling and unstoppable inferno. Pride puffed his chest. I did this, me. With her head thrown back, her hair a dark stream framing her face, she was a vision, a goddess without equal, the incarnation of carnality. Let me, he said. With his cheek he nudged her hands away and flicked his tongue over one nipple, then the other. Breaths heaving, she rode his shaft faster, faster. Tension stole over him, collecting in each of his muscles, threatening to explode or kill him. He'd be happy either way, would die with a smile. You are mine. His voice was thick and low, as much a growl as anything. Say it. I'm yours, yours, all yours. That's my female. Gonna make you come so hard, lass. He thrust up, even as he drove her down, down, at the same time giving her nipple a little bite. Puck! Must taste my name on those lips. Mouth on her mouth, tongues dancing together. He reached between their bodies and strummed where she ached most. Yes, yes! Her entire being shook, her inner walls clenching around his shaft as she climaxed. Puck became frenzied, pounding in and out of her, pounding. She felt so good, so right. Nothing had ever felt better or more perfect. The pleasure was irresistible. Would he blow? Heat at the base of his spine, radiating around his hips, collecting in his testicles. His body readied. Soon he would... Puck roared until his throat cracked, his voice going hoarse. He came and came and came inside her, his entire body bucking under the onslaught of bliss. And still he did not stop thrusting, did not stop jetting into his wife as she milked him, as if greedy for more, for all of him. He'd waited so long for a woman to be his and his alone, had craved having the same female in his bed again and again. And yet, when he'd experienced multiple nights with another, he'd found the whole thing lacking. This, with Gillian? Not nearly enough. He wanted every night, every morning, every moment in between. He hadn't known it at the time, but he'd waited for her, had craved her, only her. A woman strong enough to feel when he could not. A woman unwilling to let him shut down his own emotions, who knew the rarity of joy, who would settle for nothing less. Finally, when she'd wrung him dry, he collapsed, Gillian remaining draped over his chest.
That was so, so amazing. A revelation.
Gillian marveled. She just had sex. Wicked, mind-blowing, delicious sex. The kind in novels and movies, the kind she'd always wanted but feared she'd never have. And she'd loved every second of it. The right man had made all the difference, just as she'd suspected. With Puck, pleasure had possessed her, driving her to new heights, and this had forged a bond as strong as their vows. It must have. Gillian had never felt closer to her husband. She lifted her head and caught Puck grinning, the sexiest grin she'd ever beheld, also the most beautiful. His entire face lit up, warming her inside and out, and... A tear suddenly slipped from the corner of her eye, surprising her. Ugh, was she going to cry every time she had an orgasm? It was just... This was another first. This beautiful act had once been a living nightmare because of bad, bad men. Finally, she was free. Puck had owned her, not her memories, not her past. Puck. He'd owned all of her. As a teenager, she remembered thinking she needed to have normal sex with a normal guy in order to feel normal herself. Puck was anything but normal. He was extraordinary and exactly what she'd needed. And he's mine. For now, how can I ever let him go? Gentle, so gentle, he wiped her tears away. What is this, my sweet wife? Pretending she wasn't feeling all kinds of vulnerable, she said, I'm happy. Not bad for my first time, eh? He combed his fingers through her hair, his need to touch her as strong as her need to touch him. Woman, you have remade me. A pause, then. I will hear your praise now. Tell me you'll replay this encounter. Tell me you'll remember your soft feelings for me, no matter what happens between us. Remember? Because he ditched his terms and planned to divorce her after all?
has to be this way, you know it. Just don't go there, not yet.
Chest constricting, she lifted her head, cupped his stubbled cheeks in her hand.
As if I could ever forget my soft feelings. Or you. You are my...
What? Husband, yes.
Life? Maybe. Family? Love? I think I do want his love. I think I want to love him back.
A war cry cut through the night. William's war cry. In a blink, Puck had pulled out of her and maneuvered to his feet. She groaned, regretting the abrupt loss of him. Actually, regretting the loss of him, period. No time to waste. As she stood to unsteady legs and righted her skirt, then pulled on the rest of her clothes, Puck tied his pants and weaponed up. Perfect timing. A blur of darkness slammed into him, propelling him into a tree. Puck and William tumbled over the ground in a violent clash, one over the other. Somehow they managed to both injure and disarm each other. Not that the fight was any less brutal without weapons. They began to use claws and teeth to inflict maximum damage. "Stop," she commanded, "now!"
"I thought I could deal with this."
With his eyes glowing red, William looked like the incarnation of wrath. "For the first time in my life I was wrong. She's my wife." Puck might not have red eyes, but savagery etched every inch of his face. "Not for long." Puck charged, head-butting William and reminding her of Peanut, only Peanut had no horns. The protrusions gouged William's torso. Merciless, her friend grabbed her husband by the base of the neck and twisted, breaking his spine. For one terrible minute, Puck was motionless, just enough time for William to work himself free and punt the other man in the face. Her stomach protested. "I said enough!" They ignored her, too busy rolling across the ground once again, striking at each other. Their growls blended together, blood sprayed. Gillian's heart rate accelerated, her breaths growing hectic. "I mean it, stop!" Ignored again. William grabbed a dagger by the blade, the metal slicing his hand as he hammered Puck's temple to punctuate his next words. "You took advantage of her!" Puck deflected the next blow and delivered a brutal uppercut to the underside of William's chin. "He didn't take advantage of me. I begged him for it." She vaulted between them and held out her arms. "Please stop this. If something happened to one of these two men..." William darted around her to swing at Puck. Her husband blocked before delivering a punch of his own, one loaded with magic he couldn't afford to waste. William flew backward, crashing into a tree, splitting the trunk in half. As William came barreling back, ready to slam into Puck once again, Gillian jumped between them a second time. But William couldn't stop, his speed too great. Noticing her, however, he flashed past her, successfully avoiding her and smacking into Puck. Another violent clash ensued. Ugh! If she inserted herself into the fray, one of them could injure her, and both men would blame the other. The fight would definitely end in death then. Having heard the commotion, Galen and Pandora burst past the line of trees. When they caught sight of the in-progress battle, they stopped and grinned. Amusement? Really? Gillian's anger sparked. $20 says William takes home the gold, Galen said, and Puck's family jewels. You're on, Pandora replied. Puck's not letting Willie win his girl. I've seen the way he watches her. $20. No offers of help. Anger turned to rage. Tingles along her nape. Thoughts derailing. Oh, no, no, no. She reached for the vial of syrup hanging around her neck. Too late. Must kill everyone. Gillian grabbed hold of Galen, lifted him over her head, and slammed him into Pandora. Red suffused her vision as she followed the pair to the ground. Punch, 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 kick, kick. The abuse she inflicted on one, she then inflicted on the other. They tried to fight back, to escape, but they were no match for her superior strength or speed. Blood sprayed her face and she grinned. The pop-pop of breaking bones rang in her ears, and she laughed with maniacal glee. Gillian, lass! Puck's voice seemed to call to her from a long, dark tunnel. He was near, her husband. Did she want to kill him? No, no. The thought repelled her. That's my sweet lass. Soft fingers stroked the ridges of her spine. Calm down. Aquishle. For me. Aquishle. Or Pulse. But the endearment made no sense. Why would Puck call her a Pulse, unless he meant... She was his pulse, the very reason his heart beat.
He already loves me.
Maybe, maybe not. She definitely loved him, she realized. No longer did two different Gillians battle for supremacy inside her. All of her wanted Puck. She'd fallen for him, all right, head over heels, nothing held back. She loved his strength and ferocity, loved his calm and his cunning, loved who they were together. But he was more than the love of her life. He was her life. When he smiled, she melted. When he looked at her, she desired. When he neared, she lost focus of anything else. So he could rest easy. Puck Connaught remained undefeated. He'd won her loyalty as well as her heart. And now that he had himself a loving queen, she could help him unite the clans. Problem. She wasn't supposed to receive a happy ending, unless the oracles were wrong for the first time in Amaranthian history. She told herself she could overcome anything, even the prophecy, that she would fight for what she wanted. Two, she told herself she couldn't risk dragging Puck down with her. He was a born king, and he might grow to resent the woman who kept him from his dreams. She couldn't do both, had to pick one or the other. His happiness mattered to her far more than her own, and his leadership mattered to everyone. The maze was a creation of sins and a peek inside his mind. He was diabolical, crazy, and straight-up evil. He had to be stopped. According to the oracles, only one Connaught would govern Amaranthia, so that Connaught had to be Puck. Also according to the oracles, only William could win the Connaught crown on Puck's behalf. But what if Gillian found a way? What if she killed Sin? Would Puck grow to resent her for that, too? After hearing affection in his voice when he'd spoken about young Sin, she thought he might not be too eager to shack up with his brother's killer. Damned if I do, damned if I don't. The chance of one prophecy being hogwash and the other golden, not great. So she had to proceed as if both were true or both were false. Okay. If William dethroned Sin and presented Puck with the crown, Puck would have to divorce Gillian. No matter what, he had to deliver his brother to the Sent Ones. He might marry a different loving queen and unite the realms. If that happened, Gillian would... what? Stick around in Amaranthia to watch? Never. She'd rather pack her belongings, say goodbye to her clan, Peanut, her home, and go, because if she stayed, she'd end up killing Puck's new wife. Take what's mine and suffer. William expected Puck and Gillian's desire for each other to vanish as soon as the bond got cut. Would it? Would Puck ever want her again? Should he? The clans hated her and would never accept her as queen. And okay, okay, she was 100% willing to put in the work to win everyone over. Safer villages, havens for widows, orphans, and former stable members, as well as inter-clan schools. No more sending preteen boys to war or training preteen girls how to please a master. That's my campaign promise. Unlike most politicians, Gillian would actually follow through. Would other clans forgive her for mistakes she'd made in the past? No happy ending. Dang it, her mind kept getting stuck on that one thought. Lass, come back to me. Puck's gentle voice called to her, wrapping her mind in peace. That's my darkling. Darkling? I'm racking up the nicknames tonight. Light filtered through the storm clouds in her mind. Blinking rapidly to focus, focusing, she groaned. Galen and Pandora lay on the ground, their eyes closed, blood splattered over their skin and clothes. Did I kill them? She asked in a soft tone. They live. Puck stood at her side, petting her, offering comfort. When her gaze found him, she nearly lost her last meal. One of his horns hung at an odd angle. One of his eyes was swollen shut, his nose broken, and his lower lip split, the lower half of his face covered in dripping crimson. He had gashes in his neck and chest, and his pants were tattered. "Did I do this to you?" she asked, her chin trembling. Gently she traced her fingertips around one of the worst gashes. This is nothing. "I'm fine as well, thanks," William snapped. Gillian turned and found him standing at her other side. He was in as bad of shape as everyone else, a cut arching from forehead to chin. Bits of his throat were exposed, and one of his ribs poked out of his chest. "I'm sorry," she rasped. More than he could possibly know in a thousand different ways. He said nothing to her, just moved his narrowed gaze to Puck. You don't have to worry, Pucker. I said I'd help you regain your crown, and I will. And you will keep your end of the bargain. You will cut her loose as soon as the crown rests upon your head. Next, he concentrated on her, and she wished the ground would open up and swallow her. Whether you want me or not, you need to be free of the bond. You won't know your own mind or heart until it's broken. Then he did something she would have sworn he'd never do again. He stalked away from her, and just like Puck, he never looked back.
Chapter 36. Mumbling curses under his breath, Sin paced inside his suite. A common occurrence nowadays. The Oracle had escaped. Not that her location mattered. He'd marked her with a magical tracker her first night in the dungeon, after drugging her, of course. She had no idea he could find her in an instant. He believed she planned to find and help Puck. To retrieve her, Sin would have to face his brother. Not ready. The Oracle's final taunt clanged inside his head. The day will come. The day will come soon, riding on the wings of fury. Vengeance against you will be meted. Puck might meet vengeance, but he wouldn't prevail. How could he? If the newest prediction was true, Puck would fail to kill him, because Sin would find his lady love afterward, and then, only then, would he lose his head. Don't want to kill my brother, but I can't let him kill me. Sin slammed a fist into the wall, cracking stone. His knuckles throbbed as dust coated the air. Blood dripped from torn skin, staining the fur rug his mother had picked out, however long ago. Every crimson drop reminded him of the night he'd cursed Puck. His brother had entered the war tent, soaked in the blood of their enemies, proudly clasping the Walsh King's sword. What Sin had done, gifting his brother with indifference, he considered a necessary evil. But there was no such thing as a necessary evil, was there? Only evil pretending to be good. Excuses, excuses. Had he let the prophecy dictate his actions? Yes. Had he turned a supposition into a self-fulfilling prophecy? Perhaps. Would he do it again? Unequivocally. No other way to save us both. Except, what if there had been another way? What if he could have spent these centuries with Puck, working together as planned? No, no, impossible. Puck's greatest weakness was also his greatest strength. His possessiveness. Despite what he'd claimed, that he would co-rule with Sin, he'd considered the Connaught clan his. The other clans, too. The entire realm, in fact. His. Puck had tried to circumvent the prophecy by never sleeping with the same woman twice, never staking a claim, never risking falling in love, never stoking the desire to marry a loving queen. But one day he would have caved. The moment their father announced Puck's betrothal to the princess, Sin had seen his brother jolt, and he'd known the truth. Puck had just thought, "She's mine." I helped him let go of such foolish proclivities. I gave him peace. He knows no fear, impatience, guilt, or failure. And how had Puck thanked him? By bringing a group of immortals into Amaranthia to usurp him. Did the wife love him? As Sin passed a mirror, he caught sight of an image he hated above all others, the butterfly tattooed on his chest, the mark of his demon, the mark of paranoia. Puck had no idea Sin was possessed. Sin hadn't known either, not at first, not until the Red Queen had appeared to him a second time and explained what had happened to him. In the neighboring realm, Sin's peace talks had been unfruitful. The other realm had not feared him, had laughed in his face, whatever suggestion he made. He'd hated the thought of returning to Puck a failure. Oh, the humiliation! The night before he was to return home, the Red Queen had appeared to him for the first time and offered a solution. A bejeweled box containing the power necessary to make any realm fear him. All he had to do in return? Present his brother with a box of his own, on a night of her choosing. Hoping to impress Puck with his skills, wanting Puck to have the same power, Sin accepted and opened the box. Moments later, a black mist with red eyes had risen and jumped into his body. The demon of paranoia had possessed him, dominated him, and Sin had erupted into a maddened rage, slaughtering his own men. Everything Puck had experienced during his possession, Sin had experienced weeks before. Horrifying darkness, unending gloom, the total loss of control, but so worth it. The power, the fear he'd inspired in others, the Red Queen had not lied. Now Sin gave a bitter laugh. He'd never meant to hurt Puck, had only wanted to live in Amaranthia together, forever. If Puck no longer considered the Cunnaught crown his, and no longer yearned to unite the clans, then the prophecy would be voided and all would be well. But after his possession, Puck hadn't cared about Sin. Must kill him before he kills me. No, Sin banged his fists into his temples. Never. Be silent. What thoughts originated in his mind, and what thoughts came from the demon? He couldn't tell the difference anymore. Had he ever? Kill Puck. Kill Puck. Kill Puck. Spittle spraying from the corners of his mouth, Sin unleashed a stream of magic, causing a wall of sand to form in front of the mirror. In the center, an image of Puck and his entourage appeared. The group of five trekked through Sin's maze, so close to the end. Only one more challenge, and a door would open, leading to a Cunnaught outpost, a safety measure in case Sin himself ever got trapped. A king had to plan for every eventuality. Besides, a part of Sin, the boy he used to be, perhaps, had hoped Puck would find a way through. There had to be a way to live together in harmony. Think. Sin had worked far more complicated puzzles in the past, and succeeded. The problem was the prophecy, which meant the solution was the prophecy as well. Keep something from happening, and nothing could happen. Change one variable, change all variables. The variable on which the entire prophecy hinged? The loving wife. If Sin removed the Dune Raider from the picture, could he truly hurt his brother's female? No other way, the voice inside his head whispered. A dark voice, beguiling. Otherwise he'll kill you, or you'll kill him. Is that what you want? No, no, of course not. Very well, then. It was decided. The girl had to die. First problem. Puck and Gillian were bonded. If she died, Puck would die. Maybe Sin would capture her instead and lock her in the dungeon, where she could spend the rest of eternity. Would Puck be willing to bargain for her safety? Sin would have only two demands. One, Puck forgave him. Two, Puck loved him again. Option two, Sin killed the wife and Puck. He could marry his princess at last. She would love him then. She would have to. The oracles had said so. Sin would unite the clans on his own. Thought I wanted to avoid this. Fool! Once he fulfilled the prophecy, all of his problems would go away. So, it was decided he would kill the wife and his brother. Though a pang ripped through his chest, Sin exited his room and called for his guards. Determination directed his steps. It was time, past time, to end the war with Puck one way or another. The guards would accompany him and serve as a shield as Sin tracked the oracle. Hopefully, she hadn't found and warned Puck of Sin's intentions, yet. If she had, well, he would deal. Two of his men marched around the corner, but neither would meet his gaze. King Sin, one said, shifting nervously. How may we help you, O Great One? Nervous? They've betrayed me in some way. Will probably try to kill me on our journey, while I least expect it. Change of plan. Sin would go alone. As he came upon the soldiers, he withdrew his short swords. Without a pause in his step, he removed their heads. Betray me now. Hades lounged atop his throne. His arms rested on his middle, his legs extended in front of him, his ankles crossed. A deceptively casual pose. His men were gone, dismissed for the day. The other kings had returned to their kingdoms, protecting their subjects from Lucifer's wrath and the increasingly violent war taking place in the underworld. But Hades wasn't alone. His gaze bored into his favorite mirror. Siobhan, the goddess of many futures, was trapped inside, her hatred for him emanating from the glass. She had the ability to look into forthcoming days, weeks, years, and see the different paths a person could take. She then had a choice, to show the outcomes or not to show them. So far, she'd shown Hades nothing of importance. Had she lived in Amaranthia, she would have been touted as an oracle. Once, as a teenager, she'd asked Hades to marry her, told him they were fated. Of course, Hades had rejected her. Wed? Him? Laughable. Wed a child? Never. He might be a man without a moral compass, but even he had a line. Although this particular teenager had then proceeded to cold-heartedly murder all of Hades' lovers, past, present, and apparently future. So like any rational male, he'd arranged for her to be cursed in the mirror until she learned her lesson. Do not mess with Hades. You're still learning, obviously, he said. So badly he wanted to know what was coming for him. Would William save Amaranthia and himself? Hades had sent Wrathbone and Pandora to help, only to add Galen as a last-minute tag-along. If an air evac was needed, wings would come in handy. Besides, the keeper of jealousy and false hope would do anything for the woman he desired. And Hades had tucked her away where the warrior couldn't reach her without permission. Do as I say, and visits are encouraged. Betray me, and watch as I seduce the one you desire. For the right to see Legion, Galen would do anything to keep William safe, even kill the girl Gillian if such an action proved necessary. Even still, Hades should have gone himself. Instead, he'd returned home to quell another rebellion spurred by Lucifer. Now Hades couldn't enter Amaranthia. The shield stopped his every single attempt. He needed Wrathbone, but couldn't communicate with the warrior, only William, and William had no idea where Wrathbone was. William had even flashed back to the last location he'd seen the male, but Wrathbone, Cameron, and Winter had already moved on. You must know I'm the type of man who will gather your family and loved ones, and murder them right in front of you, he said. If that is what you want, continue showing me nothing. I'm happy to oblige, or perhaps you still consider me your fated male. Perhaps you'd object to watching me plow through a battalion of females. Nothing, no reaction. Very well, he would do as promised, because he never made idle threats, only promises. The back of Hades' neck suddenly prickled. Someone approached. Cloaking the mirror with invisibility, he glided to his feet, just in time. The Red Queen appeared in the center of his throne room, a vision of cray-cray loveliness with her pale hair in rollers and her body clad in only a lacy pink bra and panty set. One leg had shaving cream slathered from thigh to ankle. He smiled a genuine smile. "To what do I owe the pleasure of your company, my sweet?" She humphed. "First, I'm not your sweet. I never was, or you wouldn't have sold me for a barrel of whiskey and happily continued on with your life while I was tortured and imprisoned. Trifling offenses. I've done much worse to others. You aren't wrong, but I'm Torin's sweet, and he's quite mad for me." Puffed with pride, she fluffed her rollers. "Second, I came to warn you." His shoulders squared with a single, jerky movement. "Tell me." Keeley, too, would have been known as an oracle in Amaranthia. Once, she'd had quick glimpses into the future. Lately, she'd had long stares. "Someone we love is going to die," she said. "I sense it." Hades tensed. There was only one person they both loved. William. Chapter 37 Puck knew he'd reached a serious crossroads. Only hours before, he'd experienced utter and complete satisfaction. His first climax inside a female in centuries. His first climax inside his female ever. Need had governed him. A need to possess Gillian, to claim and brand her, to fill her. Two bodies made one. He'd been crazed with lust for her. Still was. He'd longed to enjoy the afterglow. Deserved it. "One day I will murder William for interrupting the best moment of my life." The son of Hades stayed away from camp most of the night, Galen with him. Pandora patrolled the perimeter, and despite the demon's loud bellows inside Puck's head, he remained on alert for any sign of Sin's magic. He felt a looming sense of doom, which only made him want to gather Gillian in his arms and never let go. but when he tried to embrace her a few minutes ago, she'd pulled free in order to pace around the campfire. She agonizes over him. Over the man she loved, the man she would always love. Gutted, Puck could only watch her and long for his ice. With every minute that passed, he was scraped raw inside, rawer, wounded in ways he'd never thought possible. He'd once thought himself done with all familial ties, no betrayal. Gillian had changed his mind. Having a tie to another person, the right person, didn't make you vulnerable to attack, it made you stronger. Look at what had happened with indifference. Gillian had helped reduce the fiend to a whiny toddler. Family gave you a solid foundation on which to stand. When storms came, you had someone there to prop you up if you fell. And perhaps Puck's emotions were not so bad after all. The satisfaction in his chest every time he gazed at his wife, the completion he found in her arms, worth any hardship. But William remained a problem. Gillian's feelings for the other male weren't romantic, or so she believed. But romantic or not, that love bonded the two together. And at the end of the day, her bond to William was greater than her bond to Puck. Because she'd chosen William with her heart, she'd made a choice without duress. No matter. Puck had decided to fight for her, and he would. Nothing, not even this, would stop him. He would make her love him, even without the bond. Would ensure she chose him now and forever. Always follow through. But how? How did he reach her? Gillian paced before the campfire, her head a maze as dangerous as sin's. Her tasks were set. Acquire everything Puck wanted, appease William, fulfill or override both prophecies with satisfactory endings for everyone involved, make other clans like her, and help everyone live happily ever after for the rest of eternity. Each one alone was possible, but all? First, she would have to stop William from winning the Connaught crown. If she failed, if Puck refused to accept it, she would have to find a way to force him. Also, she had to operate under the assumption that he would want her after he used the shears. No other outcome was acceptable, which meant she still had to find a way around her predicted unhappy ending. Forget about making the clans like her. They could hate her all they wanted. They just had to do whatever she commanded. Okay, one task crossed off her list. Now, to figure out how to keep Puck without jeopardizing his future. And she had to keep him. He was her man, her pulse. He must love her as deeply as she loved him. More than once he'd put himself at risk just to be with her. In so many ways they balanced each other. Sometimes he felt too little and she felt too much. He got her and all her silly what-ifs. He respected her battle skill and never attempted to leave her behind. A presence behind her, heat. Her husband's unique fragrance. Gillian whirled and came face to face with a savage-looking Puck. His chest rose and fell in quick succession, every breath labored and shallow. For a man who'd felt nothing but hollow and empty for centuries, he projected a ton of emotions right now. Utter starvation, desire, adoration, affection. He definitely loves me.
You are mine.
His voice was so rough, it scraped her ears.
You said so, and you do not lie. I will be yours, all you want, all you need, forever.
He pulled at her clothes. Top gone, skirt shed, panties ripped.
Naked this time.
Forget the turmoil, the uncertainty. Seize the moment.
Naked, she agreed,
and tugged at his clothing as desire scorched her. When he was bare, he slipped his palms to the back of her thighs, picked her up and walked her to the sleeping bags where he sank to his knees. Never relinquishing his hold, he pressed his lips against hers and thrust his tongue into her mouth, stroking. She met him stroke for tantalizing stroke, pouring herself into the kiss, giving him everything but taking it too. Surrendering but also demanding surrender, ceding her heart while doing her best to conquer his. And she thought he was doing the same to her. Tension radiated from him, his every action aggressive.
More.
Lost in pleasure, Gillian clawed at his back, rubbed her breasts against his chest, and grinded upon his erection. With a growl, he pushed her to her back. He remained on his knees, drinking in every inch of her, and even that was aggressive. His gaze devoured. He traced a fingertip around each of her nipples, along the plane of her stomach, between the wet, tender flesh at the apex of her thighs. Eyelids hooded, he ran his tongue over his teeth. "My wife is more exquisite every time I look at her. I want to see more." He set her feet outside his hips and pushed her knees farther apart, opening her, leaving her vulnerable. Tremor spilled through her. She gasped his name. "Your wife needs..." As his gaze devoured her, her gaze devoured him. He was all hard muscle and delectable sinew, flawless brown skin and gorgeous tattoos. Between his legs, the tip of his mouth-watering shaft glistened.
"Needs more pleasure? Or me?"
"You are pleasure. You, only you."
He leaned forward, his weight braced on his hands, his expression fierce. Sweat glistened on his skin as firelight flickered over him. His eyes. She gasped. How had she ever thought them like frosted coal? Those eyes burned. Those eyes made promises.
"I will love you always. I will cherish you. I will fight to give you the world."
"Pocky is so going to get lucky."
He crawled backward, pausing to tongue and suck her nipples into hard little points. As she writhed, lifting her hips in an attempt to grind on him, he kissed the center of her stomach. He moved lower, his beard stubble leaving pink scratches behind, marking her. He let his mouth hover just over her pubic bone, and anticipation nearly killed her. Her temperature rose, fever setting in, turning the air in her lungs to vapor.
"Must have another taste."
He lowered his head, warm breath caressing her most intimate place. Then he settled in, getting comfortable, as if he planned to be there a while. Then he licked. He made little growling noises in response.
"My honey, my wine. Mercy."
Tremors rocked her, stroking already electrified nerve endings. He licked some more, sucked. He pressed his tongue on the throbbing heart of her and thrust two fingers all the way in, staking an undeniable claim. She bucked against his mouth. Still he licked, still he sucked.
"We'll never get enough," he said,
punctuating every word with another thrust of those fingers, another press of his tongue. With every motion, he became even more aggressive. She couldn't. She was going to...
"Puck!"
His name burst past her lips as she climaxed, as pleasure filled her, shattered, killed, and remade her. She was overcome, overwhelmed. He surged to his knees. Leaning over, he used his hips to wedge himself between her thighs.
"Can't wait."
After positioning himself at her entrance, he slammed inside her. He grunted in approval. She cried out in bliss, shocked into a second orgasm. She was no longer Gillian Shaw, Gilly Bradshaw, or any other name she'd used in the past. She was Puck's woman. She belonged to him, and he belonged to her.
"My man. My home. So wet. So tight."
He paused, peering down at her with concentration, as if memorizing her features. He was panting, every breath ragged. A bead of sweat trickled from his hair, down his cheek, and fell from his jawline, splashing onto her shoulder. Even that acted as a stimulant, the droplet sizzling before evaporating.
"Move in me," she pleaded, her voice ragged.
He did, in and out, slowly. He filled and consumed her, sliding in, sliding out, gaining in speed, agony and ecstasy.
"You glove me so perfectly, lass. Yours. I'm yours always."
He thrust again and again, harder. The more he thrust, the more frantic he became, driving her need higher. Gillian clawed at his back, hit the cord of his neck, and locked her ankles against his lower back. Pressure continued to build inside her. In an attempt to draw him back, she arched her hips every time he withdrew. For too long she'd been empty and alone. Now she belonged. She'd been claimed, possessed. Puck took her by the nape, fisting her hair.
"Give me your pleasure. Take mine."
As he stared into her eyes, satisfaction beckoned.
"Helpless to resist."
Gillian screamed his name, her inner walls clenching and unclenching on his length.
"You're making me come, lass, making me..."
Quick as a blink, he shifted to his knees and pulled her up without slipping out of her. The new position sent him surging deeper, to ensure she sat upon him. He wrapped his arms around her, holding her flush against him. chest to chest, male to female, her hair tumbled around them, a curtain of dark silk shielding them from the rest of the world. My Gillian, all mine. My Puck, all mine. Ragged noises left them both as he jackhammered inside her. When she ran his lower lip between her teeth, he lost all control, going wild. Slam, slam, slam. One of his hands gripped her hair, tugging. The other gripped her bottom, bruising, and it was beautiful, every second, every motion. Gillian, he bellowed to the sky, and held his hips steady as he jetted inside her, giving her everything. Just as he's my everything. Chapter 38 Exhaustion set in, joining her contentment, leaving Gillian boneless as she cuddled into Puck's side. Her head rested in the hollow of his neck, a sleeping bag draped haphazardly over them both. Lazily, he combed his fingers through her hair, a mesmerizing, drugging delight. But she couldn't sleep, or rather wouldn't sleep. She remained on alert for any potential attack. As the sun rose, light filtered through the treetops, highlighting Puck's gloriously naked chest. Knowing there was no snooze button while out on a mission, she figured she had 5 or 10 more minutes before she had to get up and dress. Besides, the others would return soon. Actually, she figured William had stayed away on purpose, not wanting to deal with what he'd find again. "Won't feel guilty." As she drew a heart over Puck's peck, he said, "Do you have affection for me, lass?"
"Have I not proven it?"
"I need words." Her chest clenched.
"Yes, Bucky, I have affection for you."
"Do you have fun with me?"
"Yes,"
she replied readily this time, only then realizing where he was headed.
"I also feel accepted and supported when I'm with you, more than I ever have with anyone else."
He nodded as if satisfied. "Your birthday is coming up."
"Is it?"
She'd lost track. "Only 212 days away."
"So, just around the corner, then," she said with a laugh. "When is your birthday?"
At the sound of her laughter, he radiated satisfaction. "Don't know," he finally replied. "I stopped celebrating once I was taken from my mother."
Clench. "Well, then, we'll celebrate your birthday when we celebrate mine."
He tensed, which caused her to tense. Did he not think they'd be together that long? "If we fail to find Sin in the allotted time, I'm going to use the shears and ensure you leave the realm," he admitted, his voice heavy with dread. "I won't let you die with Amaranthia."
"No. I won't let you die either. There's got to be a way to get everything. The crown, vengeance for the Sent Ones, our marriage. So why is my stomach twisting with dread as if I know he's right? I love you, Puck. I don't want to give you up, but I also don't want you to give up your clan."
"You love me?" He sat up, staring down at her, and thumped his chest.
"Yes, silly man, I love you, and you love me."
The prompt, "agree with me," flew over his head. "You love me. My Gillian loves me." Awe lit his face. Then he narrowed his eyes. "Do you still love him?"
"Yes," she admitted, and he tensed all over again. "I'll always love him. As a friend, only ever as a friend, please believe me."
Quiet fury. That's what he was just then. It filled his eyes, pulsed from his body, and held him rigid as stone. "Honey, we're home," a voice called, and she jolted upright, her breasts bouncing. "But don't hurry on our account. I'm enjoying the show." A short distance away, Galen hovered in the air. He wiggled his sandy brows, unabashed by his voyeurism. Moving fast, though not as fast as usual, Puck grabbed one of the rocks circling the fire pit and threw it. "No one looks at her but me." The missile pelted Galen's wing, sending him crashing to the ground. As he lumbered to his feet, Peanut galloped over and performed a perfect headbutt. Gillian rushed to dress alongside her husband, saying,
"Good boy."
"You're welcome for the warning, by the way," Galen grumbled. Footsteps sounded as Puck fastened his pants. She looked up just as William and Pandora stepped from the line of trees. Unwilling to meet her gaze, William sidestepped her, grabbed his go-bag, and mounted his chimera.
Ouch.
Pandora cast her an apologetic glance.
Let's save any arguments for later and move out.
Gillian hurried to gather her belongings. By the time she sat atop Peanut, the others were well ahead of her. Everyone but Puck, who waited for her.
I'm sorry, she said, but I have to speak with him.
A muscle flexed in his jaw, but he nodded. Thunder cracked, jolting her as she trotted forward to sidle up to William. A cold wind blew, causing her hair to slap her cheeks. A storm brewed, the sky now darkening.
Talk to me, she beseeched. Please.
And he still ignored her, never relaxing his stance.
Okay. I'll talk and you'll listen. I never made promises to you, Liam. In fact, I did just the opposite. I told you I wasn't interested in you romantically. I told you I wanted Puck.
Now he growled, shifting to glare at her. His eyes blue one moment, red the next. You're not even sorry, are you?
Sorry for being with Puck? Never. I'm only sorry I hurt you. But if you think about it, you're glad I turned to another man.
His nostrils flared as he inhaled sharply. William wasn't grieving over her loss, wasn't devastated or even jealous. In those extraordinary eyes, she saw anger, hurt, and injured pride. A rumble in his chest, almost a match to the thunder in the heavens.
We'll be back, he dismounted, saying to the others, do not come looking for us.
He forced Gillian to dismount, not that she put up any kind of fight, then took her hand and dragged her away from the group toward a thicket of trees.
There isn't time for this, Puck called.
Do not look back, do not.
She looked back.
Stay, please, she mouthed.
She needed to hash things out with William once and for all. Puck stared at her until the last possible second, his expression unreadable, his chest rising and falling with quick, labored breaths. Then tree limbs whisked together, hiding him from view. She gulped, torn. Feminine instincts screamed,
return to him now.
No, no, she had to finish this. William stopped abruptly and whirled to face her.
You are mine, and yet you turned to that goat man.
She anchored her hands on her hips.
He might be a goat man, but he's my goat man.
I told you the bond would affect you. I told you to wait until you were free.
You also told me to sow my wild oats.
A moment of insanity.
Maybe, maybe not, but here's the truth, plain and simple. I was intrigued with Puck before we bonded.
No.
He glared daggers at her.
You're mistaken. Too many years have passed for you, centuries. Your memories are skewed, which is understandable in more ways than one. You were sick at the time. If he was your fated mate, you wouldn't enjoy spending time with me, wouldn't laugh with me, or miss me when I'm gone.
Stubborn male.
You might want to rethink your argument, Everandi. According to your logic, you would have kept your joystick in your pants if I were your fated mate. You wouldn't have bedded every woman in creation. You would have considered celibacy a privilege as you waited for me. A flash of outrage quickly tamped down.
You were a child.
And you are an immortal. Time is nothing to you. Would waiting 2 years have been such a hardship, truly?
Another clap of thunder. Lightning lit the sky, highlighting the beautiful face she loved as a friend. A brother, the father she wished she'd had.
I did wait, just not the way you preferred, he grated. Or have you forgotten the night I found you in my apartment?
A flush of shame heated her cheeks.
You know what I mean.
He spread his arms, all, look at me now.
I haven't been with anyone since I got here.
You've gone an entire week? What strength, what willpower, you must be so proud.
Silence stretched between them as he stared at her, hard, studying her. Then he scrubbed a hand down his face.
Why are we even arguing about this? Or are you afraid I'll walk away from your precious Puck before he's made king?
Well, worry no more. I'll kill his brother and gift Puck with a Connaught crown. In return, he'll sever his bond to you as agreed, and you'll realize I was right all along. You'll beg for my forgiveness. One day, I might even grant it.
Was he freaking kidding? You'll forgive me?
With every word, her volume rose.
I don't want your forgiveness, William. I haven't done anything wrong.
You've done everything wrong,
she blinked, and William changed.
Gone was the gentle teaser she knew and loved. In his place was the vengeful warrior who'd found her seconds after she'd married Puck. Wings of black smoke sprang from his back. The same smoke seemed to branch around his eyes, as if he'd somehow donned a mask. Those branches extended over his cheekbones, the perfect contrast to the lightning strikes that appeared under the surface of his skin. She expected him to shout, to rant and rail. Eyes like wounds, he said, "You broke my heart, Gillian."
"No. No.
I can't have hurt him.
I never wanted to cause you pain."
He was lethally quiet as he flashed to a tree a few feet away and slammed his fist into the trunk, again and again until half of the trunk split from the other. Tears blurred her line of sight and streaked down her cheeks.
"I'm sorry. I'm sorry," she babbled.
"You never even gave me a chance."
Steps eating up the distance at an alarming rate, he approached her. "I told him I wouldn't touch you, and I always sometimes keep my word. But I never said I wouldn't kiss you."
Finally, he was there, standing directly in front of her, swooping down to press his mouth against hers, his tongue thrust past her lips and teeth to stroke inside. The kiss devastated her, but not the way he hoped. The kiss broke her heart. All she tasted was salt water from her tears. She adored this man, but she could not bring herself to return the kiss, not to give him closure, not even to say goodbye. Gillian could not, would not betray her husband in such a way. With her palms flat against William's chest, she pushed him away.
"Stop, Liam. Stop."
Her mind noted the slow pace of his heart. It wasn't racing with a passion too great to be denied. Her tears continued to fall, a sob bubbling from her. His electric blues were not dazed as they studied her a second time. They were confused and sad.
"So incredibly sad."
"Shh, shh," he said. He reached out to collect her tears with his thumbs. "It's going to be all right. Everything will be all right."
Would it?
So much was unknown. So much was unfinished. "I love you," he said.
"I know. I love you, too. That will never change."
But what she felt, it had never been romantic love. Deep down, a part of her had always known it. But other parts of her had mistaken protectiveness and security with teenage infatuation and desperation with lust. Another sob escaped her.
"I'm sorry," she whispered.
"No, puppet, no. Don't be sorry. I lied before. You did nothing wrong." A moment ago, he wasn't sure he could forgive her. Now he was comforting her.
"What changed?"
"I cannot do it. I cannot hurt you. You mean too much to me, and I..." She waited for him to say more. He didn't.
"Tell me," she pleaded.
He sighed, his warm breath fanning the crown of her head. "You are a terrible kisser, like seriously bad." She barked out an unexpected laugh.
"Right back at you, Everandy."
"I love you so much," he said, squeezing her. "More than I've ever loved another." Hello, new tears. He gently chucked her under the chin to guide her gaze back to his.
What she saw?
Tenderness, understanding, disappointment. "I've lived a long time. I've heard thousands of people, immortals and mortals alike, talk about the power of a single kiss, how one kiss can change you forever, ruining you for another lover. One kiss can teach you, calm you, or incite you. Your kiss. I felt your love for him. I found it strangely... beautiful."
"William,"
she whispered, anguished.
"I never wanted to hurt you."
"I know, puppet. I know."
Still so gentle with her.
"I'll recover. I always do," he said. "And don't go thinking I'm Puck Gillian's number one fan. I haven't changed my mind. I believe the bond is responsible for this, but I'm not going to..." He stiffened, frowned. "Hades is screaming at me. Danger, death near."
"Magic,"
she thought as a breeze blew past. Last time, Sin's magic had hit with wind. The ground shook with so much force, Gillian stumbled to the side. She gasped, struggling to remain upright.
dread turned her blood to sludge as cracks formed in the dirt.
More pits? Puck, Peanut!
Gillian ran, pumping her arms and legs as quickly as possible.
Must reach them.
As she cleared the trees, her gaze found Puck. He was doing everything in his power to calm a frightened, bucking Peanut, while also watching for Gillian's return. The moment he spotted her, relief brightened his expression. Until his gaze dropped to her lips, he scowled.
Not what you think, hubby.
Okay, it was, but she hadn't participated. Halfway there, so close but not close enough. When they reached a safe place, she would explain what had happened, except between one step and the next, the ground just vanished. Unlike before, there were no pieces left to stand upon, and Gillian tumbled through the air.
Chapter 39
Gillian! Puck shouted, already using magic to cast a vine from somewhere above in a desperate attempt to catch her. The ground had dematerialized, there one moment, gone the next, taking Gillian with it. Indifference howled, incensed by Puck's panic. How could a day that began so beautifully end up like this? He also cast vines to the others, Peanut, Pandora, and William, using up what remained of his magic. Galen's wings had saved him. The other chimeras had sensed something wrong and scattered just before the land loss. Had Puck caught Gillian and William? He couldn't see the pair. Thick gray clouds had replaced the forest. He must have caught her. He hadn't died, so he knew she hadn't died. "Go on a mission for Daddy," Hades said. Scowling, Pandora planted her booted feet on thorns, allowing her to stand rather than dangle. "It'll be fun," he said.
"If Gillian and William are down there, I'll find them."
Galen angled his body and dipped beneath the clouds. Only moments ago, Puck had been furious with Gillian. Her lips had been red and appeared bee-stung, just as they looked after he kissed her. Only he hadn't been with her.
"Betrayed by my own wife."
Indifference had beckoned at him like a siren song.
"Want nothing, need nothing."
If he summoned ice, the jealousy and rage would dissipate. His feelings of betrayal would vanish. But Puck had resisted. He wasn't a coward, and he wouldn't run from his emotions any longer. He would feel and he would deal. But oh, he'd wanted to shake Gillian, had wanted to kiss her so hotly he would be forever branded on her lips. Him, not some other male. And he would, soon. Then he'd wanted to remove William's head with a single strike. He thought,
"Consider the kiss a goodbye, lass. You'll kiss me and no other."
Then he'd realized there was no one more honest than Gillian. She wouldn't cheat on her husband, ever. William might have kissed her, but guaranteed she hadn't kissed him back.
"I'm here. I'm safe."
Her beautiful face appeared above the clouds, the thorns providing the perfect hand and foot rails as she climbed to a position level with Puck's. Relief tore through him, but when he noticed the blood dripping down her arms, he worried all over again.
"You're injured?"
"Got stabbed by a few thorns, but I'm fine. William, too. He has a lot more vine to climb."
The color drained from her cheeks when she spotted a flailing Peanut. The vine wrapped around the animal's middle, the thorns buried deep in his belly.
"You used magic to save him. Thank you, Puck."
"For you, I will do anything."
"It's okay, baby," she called. "You need to calm down."
Peanut panicked further. The more he thrashed, the more he bled. He had to be in great pain, with no idea why. But if he didn't stop, he might cause the vine to snap.
"You're only hurting yourself worse."
Desperation threaded Gillian's voice. "Calm down, please."
"The vines are anchored to a piece of land above us," Puck said. "I'm not sure how far we'll have to climb, but there is a destination to reach. Once we're at the top, we can hoist Peanut to safety."
"Why not go down?" Pandora asked.
"There's no way we can safely lower Peanut to the ground."
The strained words came from William as he broke through the clouds. Though the chimera had never liked the male, he settled when William traced a fingertip between his eyes. No, Peanut didn't just settle. He slept, his body going lax.
"You'll remember none of this," William said. "I would flash to the top and hoist him up myself, but I can only appear in locations I've previously visited, or can see, with the cloud cover."
"It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this."
Ever the warrior, Gillian drew in a deep breath and squared her shoulders.
"Let's start climbing."
"That's my woman."
On cue, because nothing could go right today. Thunder boomed and a zip of lightning raced across the sky, directly above their heads. Galen returned, the smooth glide of his wings allowing him to hover. I flew down pretty low, but found no trace of land. However, I did find a doorway to another realm. Which one? I have no idea.
We can't risk it, Puck said.
They could end up inside a volcano, or a prison, or worse.
Up we go.
I'll do a little scoping, find out what we're